From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Golhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. President Donald Trump announced on Monday morning that his administration had negotiated a bilateral trade agreement with Mexico as part of efforts to reconfigure NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. In a move that appeared to snub Canada, the third nation party to NAFTA, Trump made the surprise announcement saying that Canada could join later, quote, if they'd like to negotiate fairly. Many are urging caution as the bilateral deal between the U.S. and Mexico still has uncertainties, including over tariffs that Trump imposed on Mexican steel. The U.S. Congress and lawmakers from Mexico and Canada would still have to vote to ratify any deal. My guest is Patrick Woodall, Research Director at Food and Water Watch and Food and Water Action. Welcome to the program, Patrick.
It's great to be here, Sonali. Thank you for having me.
So this seemed to come as a surprise to many of us who were sort of watching what was happening with NAFTA, and the negotiations had been going on for the past year or so, as Trump basically promised he wanted to renegotiate NAFTA. And we heard on Sunday that Mexico's foreign minister was very happy about the direction that U.S. and Mexican negotiators were taking, and Canada wasn't at the table because it was meant to rejoin later. Did you expect the U.S. and Trump to suddenly announce a bilateral trade deal between the U.S. and Mexico and essentially leaving Canada out?
So I don't think it's good policy to gamble on what will happen in the White House. Obviously, it's super hard to predict anything the Trump administration will do, but they've been negotiating very hard for a long time to deliver on their promise that they will fix NAFTA. And that's the real question, whether they're capable of doing that. The effort is designed to ensure that any bilateral agreement, or if Canada joined the talks on Tuesday, a resumption, a new NAFTA, would be to deliver a notice to Congress by Friday, this Friday, to say that they were going to sign the deal within 30 days. And that would be the day before or the incoming president of Mexico takes office. So that's been the kind of time frame that they're operating under. There's tremendous pressure for them to deliver something to Congress by Friday. The question is today, on Tuesday, whether they're going to be able to do that. Canada just joined the talks today. So whether they can bring all of these moving pieces together, whether they're capable of doing that. And then the real question, whether what they agreed to is actually worth doing. And I think that's a huge question mark, because it's a secret deal. We don't know what's in there. And this is another one of the Trump handshake promises. So we have no idea what's in it. We have great concern, because most of the other corporate trade deals have been absolute giveaways to polluters and Wall Street and other big businesses, but with little for the environment and communities and workers.
Hmm. Well, Trump yesterday, in his eagerness to celebrate a bilateral trade deal, or at least the appearance of one, decided to call Enrique Peña Nieto on speakerphone in full view of cameras and reporters, spent several minutes fumbling and turned himself into yet another meme. And then he finally got Peña Nieto on the line. And I want to play a short clip from that conversation and what Peña Nieto, through a translator, said.
Y el motivo de esta llamada, presidente, es primero celebrar el entendimiento que ha habido entre los dos equipos negociadores.
And the first reason for this call, Mr. President, is first of all to celebrate the understanding we have had between both negotiating teams.
Sobre el acuerdo de NAFTA.
A NAFTA.
En este interés que ha habido desde hace ya varios meses.
In this interest we have had for quite a few months now.
De renovarlo, de modernizarlo, de actualizarlo.
To renew it, to modernize it, to update it.
Y generar un marco que potencie la competitividad de Norteamérica.
And to generate a framework that will boost and potentiate productivity in North America.
Es nuestro deseo, presidente, que ahora Canadá también pueda incorporarse a este.
It is our wish, Mr. President, that now Canada will also be able to be incorporated in all this.
And that's the voice of Enrique Peña Nieto speaking through an interpreter on speakerphone with President Trump on Monday. Patrick Woodall is my guest. He's a research director at Food and Water Watch and Food and Water Action. And in that clip we just played, Patrick, Peña Nieto said that he would like to, it is now our wish that Canada will participate. And of course, Trump's response to all of this was, well, there are conditions that he has imposed on Canada participating. Why do you think the U.S. snubbed Canada?
Well, I think that the issues with Canada were complicated, and they were having Trump only wants to negotiate his way or the highway, and the Canadian government seemed unwilling to do that, especially as the White House imposed more and more tariff penalties on Canada. So the effort was to sort of come to an agreement with the Mexican negotiators and use that to bully Canada back to the table. And so on Tuesday, Canada did resume, and they have, as I said, 3.5 days to come to an agreement that is fast enough for the White House to notify Congress that they plan to sign an agreement in 90 days. That's under the Fast Track Trade Authority legislation that was passed in now 2015. I think I was on talking to you about that then, Sonali.
Probably. Patrick, the U.S.'s imposition of tariffs on industries in Canada and Mexico all took place while NAFTA was being renegotiated. So these three countries that are party to NAFTA, the U.S., Mexico, and Canada, had one of the two countries in the midst of negotiations slap tariffs on industries in the other two countries. Did that action complicate things?
I think it probably did complicate things, but these are complicated negotiations even without the kind of random whack-a-mole behavior from the White House in terms of trade war penalties. So I think no matter what, these are tough negotiations that take a long time. There's a reason that NAFTA hasn't been revisited, which is there are a lot of open questions because there are many problems with the agreement, even amongst the kind of pro-corporate trade people that are promoting these deals. There's a lot of friction and tension over these issues. Obviously, adding the tariff penalties on top of that makes things more difficult. The administration, the White House, seems to think that by imposing these penalties, they're bringing people to the table. I think what Canada has said all along and Mexico has said all along is that they are basically entering these negotiations despite the kind of tariff penalties offered by the White House.
Now, of course, organizations like yours have for years been criticizing NAFTA because it is a free trade agreement. That means that capital and corporations are free to take their industries, their manufacturing, to whichever country will lower their costs the most without penalties, without tariffs. And so we've had a massive outflow of jobs from the U.S. into Mexico, and they haven't been very good jobs for Mexicans. So there have been, and of course, all of the environmental and other labor issues that have gone on with it. So there have been very legitimate critiques of NAFTA from organizations like yours. And when Trump has talked about wanting to renegotiate NAFTA, he has used the issue of workers' rights and jobs as well. As far as you know, the NAFTA negotiations that took place, because they are secret, so as far as you know, whether through leaks or leaks of drafts, have any of the legitimate concerns of groups like yours even been addressed?
So we think some have. The question is whether it's sufficient. And the kind of devil is in the details. Mm-hmm. So what we do know is that they're purportedly have removed incentives to outsource jobs, that for some sectors like auto manufacturing, they are increasing the regional content. So it would be more of the car would have to be made in Mexico, Canada, or the United States. And there's a provisions to make sure that workers get paid at least $16 an hour for 40 to 45% of that content. That's a those would be improvements and some measures to make sure that there's more kind of regional use of steel and aluminum in manufacturing as well. Those would be improvements. But I think the reality is there are a lot of important moving parts here. You have to see the specific language. I think that a number of labor union presidents said that this was a good step, but more work needs to be done. And we obviously have only a few days to do this additional work. And they're largely doing it in secret still. So we're concerned. And that appears to be the one of the key areas where some progress has been made. And the other area where some progress is made is on these corporate investment trade lawsuits, which have been the kind of really a crazy thing where a company could sue over because they said a regulation cost them money in the future. And we've been calling out these lawsuits, the investor state dispute lawsuits, as a big problem. It appears that those will be limited in the future, but there's a huge loophole for the oil and gas industry and the infrastructure industry and the energy industry, which would include pipelines. And so some of the cases we're worried about now is the TransCanada suit against the United States over the failure to build the Keystone pipeline. And there's another trade dispute over Quebec's fracking moratorium. All of those would still be able to go forwards under this new improved NAFTA. And then The critical question is in the things that are considered to be non-controversial, which is the regulatory stuff. Mm-hmm. So in the background, behind all the tariffs and the goods and things, are the questions about this, the use of trade agreements to act as sort of an international arbiter on regulatory standards. Are your food safety standards actually an illegal trade barrier? Are your consumer product standards, are your environmental protections, illegal trade barriers? And that language is super important. It's super dull. And it is, we don't know anything about it. But what they have suggested and what they've been talking about and what's been rumored is really scary. So one of the things is that they want to use more sound science to evaluate things like food safety rules. This is the same exact language that they're using to tear apart the Environmental Protection Agency and rip up environmental safeguards. So we know that they are using the same efforts in this new trade agreement to do what they're doing to the EPA and other agencies across the government right now. And so what that would essentially do would be lock in the worst of the Trump deregulation, the Pruitt-style attack on environmental protections, and lock it into this trade agreement. You know, in a couple of years, the Trump administration is going to be gone, right? They're going to be out of the White House. But this trade agreement will still be here. And if they put the kind of deregulation that they want in this trade agreement, then it won't be possible for us to repair the damage at the EPA, because this trade agreement will still be able to be used to attack our efforts to ensure that Americans have safe food and clean water and clean air and safe environments. And that's the part that's very terrifying.
Now, Patrick, so essentially the Trump administration is attempting to do through NAFTA what it has already done at the EPA and stripping corporations of stripping regulations that hold corporations accountable. Is there any hope that Canada, being party to this, might actually salvage some of these issues? Does Canada have interests that align with the environmental concerns, the labor concerns? And maybe that's why the US has snubbed Canada and threatened to go it alone with Mexico. But is it possible that if Canada were to put its foot down, that its presence at these negotiations could steer them in the right direction?
Possible, but highly unlikely. And I'll tell you why, because the reality is the kind of corporate backers of these trade agreements are all sort of in alignment. These are issues that are considered non-controversial. They're the reasons we fought against the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And a lot of the language that was road tested in the TPP, we know is probably in the new NAFTA that they're inking now. And that is the issue that we're worried about, right? Canada was party to that. There are plenty of nations that have maybe nicer administrations than the one we have in the White House today. But the reality is that there's broad agreement amongst the kind of corporate elite that are driving these trade agreements, which is they want these trade deals to act as an opportunity to overturn local environmental, food safety, consumer protection, labeling laws. And that's why they want these trade deals, is because they want an end run around democratic governance at the nation's capitals. So the forces that are promoting the trade deals in Canada are not manifestly nicer or more environmentalist than those in Wall Street or in the oil patch of Oklahoma, right? They're the same sorts of companies. TransCanada is not massively nicer than you would say Exxon is. So ultimately, they have the same sort of interests in mind, and there are lots of odious elements on energy that are in this agreement that they've already trumpeted that are include more exports, which will lead to more drilling and more fracking and more pipelines and more export terminals, all of which is going to make it more difficult to curb climate change.
Right. Even though Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau portrays himself as a climate champion, he is very much interested in seeing Canada capitalize on its tar sands and the other fossil fuel resources that it has. And all of that can essentially outweigh any other concerns. Is there opposition in Congress that you hope? Because, of course, all of this requires congressional ratification, not just in the U.S., but in Mexico and Canada. Is there enough congressional opposition to some of these deregulatory measures we've been talking about that Congress could force Trump to negotiate NAFTA in a more favorable way? Or does Congress just simply get an up or down vote?
So I think it depends how this goes forwards. Mm-hmm. If Canada is part of the deal by Friday, mm-hmm. if they can pull that off, I think that's an open question, whether or not they can, in the next 3.5 days, come to some sort of trilateral agreement. But if they could pull that off and deliver a notification to Congress on Friday, the August 31st, then Congress would get an up or down vote. However, I believe that if it was a bilateral agreement just with Mexico, that might not fall under the fast track rules where Congress gets a yes or no. So I think it's really too early to say. First of all, we don't know what the content is because it's totally secret. So we have three fact sheets from the U.S. Trade Representative's office that are not illuminating documents. And then we have kind of what's been rumored in the media, which is not really telling us a tremendous amount of detail. The kind of devil in the details is incredibly important. And then so we don't really know what might come to Congress. It's difficult to say how people might respond. There obviously is a large pool of people that have been urging NAFTA to be replaced with a NAFTA that would be good for workers and communities and the environment. We've been part of that fight for decades. They recognize the kind of champion, fair trade champions recognize that it's really going to matter what's in the details. And so the Trump administration promising that this is a good deal for workers is a lot different than it actually being a good deal for workers. And people are very, very cognizant of that. They're watching to see whether this delivers the kind of things that people have been asking for that include real binding enforceable labor standards for Mexico and really making sure that they don't roll back environmental and food safety and other important protections for people and communities. We don't know what's in there. My guess is that on the deregulation side, this is TPP plus. Mm-hmm. It is a lot worse than TPP. And that they got everything that they were pushing for in the Trans-Pacific Partnership and maybe then some. But we don't know. That's just the way that the talk has been on the so-called non-controversial issues on deregulation. All of that seems fine to big business. So they're content with that. And it does seem on things like biotechnology and food that they're salivating over being able to kind of force Mexico to accept GMO corn, which is what the kind of fact sheet that they released yesterday said, and that there will be tougher reviews for sound science for food safety. Those are buzzwords that mean attacks on our food safety standards, and we're very worried about that. And everyone that eats should be worried about that impact. And obviously the stuff on energy is disconcerting because it's going to promote another wave of fracking and drilling and exports. So that these exports are designed to drive up prices and drive up demand for more drilling. So if you live in a place where there's lots of drilling, there'll be even more if they get their way and have this deal.
Do you recommend, finally, Patrick, that people contact their congressional representatives and urge them to demand any NAFTA reboot, respect the environment, respect labor standards, respect regulations, holding corporations accountable, or is it too early for that?
Well, I think we've been involved trying to talk to people about this for a long time, and we do encourage people to say that, you know, NAFTA needs a reboot. Remember, Trump said that he would fix NAFTA. Obama said that he would fix NAFTA, and we still have the same old NAFTA. And this promises has they're saying some nice things on the worker side, which are not, you know, totally unhopeful. But it's really going to matter what's in the detail. So telling your members of Congress that it's important that any new NAFTA protect the environment, protect workers with binding and forcible tools to make sure that workers and the environment are protected, that's essential, and that NAFTA can't be kind of a back way to deregulate food safety, environmental protections, and other standards, Wall Street protections, pharmaceutical giveaways. That's what we're really worried about, and that's really going to be in the details. It's not too early to have that conversation, but really it's going to depend whether the White House can pull it off in the next 3.5 days.
Well, Patrick, I want to thank you so much for joining us. Is there a website you'd like to recommend?
Sure. You can go to foodandwaterwatch.org. We have a lot of material on these trade deals and what the risks are really going to affect your family and your kitchen table.
That's foodandwaterwatch.org. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Patrick Woodall is a research director with Food and Water Watch and Food and Water Action, and we've been discussing the U.S.-Mexico trade deal that Trump just announced. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter and subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes and our video channel on Vimeo.